Okay, if you have a Bible, you want to turn your Bible to Psalms 8. We're just going to pick up right here.
And
it's okay. That's good. It's good. It's good. Psalms 8. Many of you, I don't know, this has been an experience for me this weekend to meet you guys and to get to share with you. And we do a CD of the month. It's free. We mail it out each month. If any of you would be interested to get on that CD of the month, we mail out CDs, and you can do that just by giving me your address. That's all. Just give me your address. And these meetings, I've taken these meetings, so if any of you did want a copy of these CDs, they'd be free. You just write your address and your name, and I'll be sure that you get it. I'll mail them to you. So we've been taping all of them, so if you want one of them, if you'd like to have one, just give me your address and your name, and I'll do that. Or if you want to be on the CD of the month mail out, that's fine. Psalms 8, if you'll turn over there in your Bible, we have we're in a very, very unique and marvelous place. I mean, we really are. I'm not talking about Nanny's basement. I'm talking about in what we would call Kronos. What a time to be incarnate in the earth. It's phenomenal. This is a really phenomenal time to have a physical body. Yes. It really is. It's a phenomenal time to have a physical body, and that's us. And what's happening and where we're at is so big in the picture of God. And I want to share some things. Maybe some of you have any of you or many of you read about the Mayan calendar and the December 21st, 2012 prediction. Most of you have read that, and you've probably read some of the books. Did any of you see the movie, the doom and gloom movie 2012 and the destruction and all of that? No, you didn't see that? Well, good. You didn't need to see that. It was a bunch of garbage. But it's a tremendous question, and I wanted to point some things out about it. And so in Psalms 8, if you will, with verse 3, I want to show you some things here. And he says in verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the Shamayim, you know, that's the Hebrew word for heaven. It is not the name of a planet that exists somewhere out in the solar system. That's not what the word means at all. Hadn't got anything to do with a planet in the solar system. In Genesis 1, 7 and 8, it says the firmament where the birds fly is the Shamayim, is the heaven. But the word heaven or Shamayim actually deals with astrological belt. And when I say that, all of you are born under a sign. You're all born under a star. So you have the place of your birthing, and an energy was deposited of God, a gift of God was deposited in you in that birth sign and in that birthplace. So many times we don't know who we are. We don't know the marvelous energy in us because we just haven't been taught. And people perish or people are captive or people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And so knowledge is key. And I'm not just talking about accumulation of wisdom. There's a word in Hebrew called de'at. It's not used a lot in Scripture. But de'at is a word that refers to an invisible place that actually abides in your being. And that invisible place is where God imparts Himself. And that's called de'at. And so when you open up to that in the Old Testament, that word in Hebrew, de'at, just simply means gnosis or knowledge deposited in you from God. Now in the Greek New Testament, we have a word that's similar to that, and it's called gnosko. And the word gnosko in the Greek is similar to the same as the de'at in the Hebrew. And so I wanted to talk about that. I want to talk a little bit about the astrological belt, the 12 signs of the astrological belt. And all of you are familiar with the 12 sons of Jacob. Those 12 sons of Jacob are mythological figures of the 12 signs of the zodiac belt. the 12 tribes of the children of Israel are also symbolic and are speaking of the astrological belt. The 12 stones on the breastplate of the priest are also speaking of the astrological belt. The 12 apostles are known as disciples of Christ, are also speaking of the 12 astrological belts. The 12 gates in the city of Revelation are also referring to the 12 astrological gates. The 12 stones in the foundation in the book of Revelation are also talking about the 12 astrological belts. And if you were listening, you'd realize God wants you to know about the astrological belt. Because it's in the Bible from front to back. It's tremendous that we don't know, and many times we've been taught to be afraid of it. And we don't have any need to fear anything like that. How many of you have ever heard the term the great year? The great year. So a few of you have heard that term, the great year. Let's see how I can do this. You know, I just like to dance for you, and I don't know how to dance unless I'm drunk. And if I'm drunk, I can dance really good, I think. So back in our wild days, Connie didn't like to go to bars with me because I got drunk and I danced with everybody. I didn't care. But the astrological belt, our galaxy is moving through space, and we are moving with it as our sun and its planetary system, it's rotating within a rotation that's within a rotation. And it's a picture of your body, because your body has got all these rotations going on inside it. And so as you start to see that and you understand the similarity of that, you understand what the ancients meant when they said, as above, so below. As without, so it is within. And the more you can connect to that, the more you can see the glory of God in the heavens above and in the earth, this earth beneath. And so it's important that we learn to connect to that. And when we do, and as we do connect to that, it expands us as an individual. Now, Daniel had a vision. He was called in to interpret. He actually didn't have this dream or vision. He was just called in to interpret it. And then he said, okay, I know. I got it. You know, it's sort of a charades type thing. He said, I got it. And so he began to tell about this dream and how this dream played out and how it worked. And how it works is a picture of how the astrological belt moves in its rotation. As our Milky Way galaxy moves in this astrological belt, and our sun moves at a speed, as it travels with the Milky Way galaxy, at a speed of 65,000 miles an hour. It's in a hurry, isn't it? So see, we're moving that fast just in one direction. And we're moving that fast and half in other directions. The way we're moving and how fast we're moving in the grand scale of things is phenomenal. It's a wonder we're all not drunk. And I guess when we really get over the Spirit, we just get caught up in the whiz of it, because we've sensed the moving of all this tremendous energy that God is moving around. So, I said that to say our sun and its planetary system moves within itself. And when you look at the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, I want to kind of draw it out in a way like this. And our Milky Way galaxy moves at this tremendous speed. And our sun, I'll just put our sun here, our sun and the planetary system of it moves with this thing as it's swirling. It's just, you know, it's doing this number. It's swirling, and as it's swirling, we are all just in a great part of this movement. And I'm sure all of you have seen the History Channel and some of the things the Hubble's sending back. Have y'all seen these different marvelous, marvelous pictures to see the grand scale of our God and how big our God is? But yet, the great year is where our sun moves in this grand scale of things. We're not stationary and just sitting still. We're moving. And so our sun and its planetary system, it's moving. And it's not just moving incrementally, as I said, it's moving extremely fast. But because of the vastness of the Milky Way galaxy, it takes our sun to go from this point all the way around the Milky Way galaxy back to this point, 24,000 years. And it's from that we get our so-called 24-hour day. It's from that movement. Now, you can get really technical with this, but the Mayan calendar is built on this date of 24,000 years. You can get very technical on it and say, well, it actually, Brother Lynn, is 25,960 years. So, okay, that's no big deal. But the reason there's a discrepancy is because of something phenomenal that's happening in the space of things. And I want to show you that thing that's happening that's very phenomenal. That thing that's happening is that, let me draw this again for you. I use this big old board at the house, and I can draw all this at different places, and when I do, you can see that. This is our Milky Way galaxy as it's moving, as vast and as huge as it is. This is our sun moving in this belt. And scientists have seen this, and they know this now, that our sun has a sister sun. It's called a binary sun. And they know that is that's a fact now. And our binary sun, it moves like this. It moves exactly the way we do. And what happens with our binary sun, which our binary sun is called Sirius. You've probably heard that out of Scripture. And what happens with our sun and the binary sun is every 24,000 years, Sirius is out here and our sun is out here in this grand scale of movement. And when they are far apart like that, the energy or the consciousness seems to go dense on the earth. And what happens is this thing is divided actually into four sections. And this section is called an Iron Age, I-R-O-N. And it's during this time we have this concept and the idea that men live in caves and beat their wives on the head with sticks. It's not true. It's not true, but that's an idea that we have. And then this, they move as the sun moves on around and moves into this particular. By the way, this Iron Age lasts between 8 and 1,200 years. It's the shortest period of time in this tremendous cycle. As we move on closer, we move into what's called the Brass or Bronze Age. And it lasts about 1,600 years. And as we move a little bit closer, then we call this the Silver Age. This is Daniel's vision, by the way. Silver Age. And then as we move a little bit closer, we call this the Golden Age. And so in the grand scale of things, we are at this very point, and this is what is so phenomenal about the time that we live. I want to do this again so that you get the picture. Our sun has been moving in this progression of the equinox. And every time it moves, it stays in a certain section for 2,000 years. You know that, don't you? We talked about it Friday night. It stayed in Taurus 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. Then it stayed in the Lamb 2,000 years. It's been in Pisces for 2,000 years. And we are entering a period of time, and this period of time is called the Golden Age. Right here, On December the 21st, our sun and Sirius, its sister sun, will both cross these equinoctial points. These points are what were known in ancient times. Pythagoras talked about this 500 years before Jesus. And if you look in the Britannica Encyclopedia, or you can Google it if you'd like, you'll see Pythagoras 500 years before Jesus with a necklace and a cross with a man hanging on it. 500 years before Jesus, Pythagoras. We still have our a lot of our math, geology, a lot of our numbering is still based off Pythagorean wisdom and knowledge. 3,000 years. We're still using his information. But Pythagoras wore this cross, and he wore this cross because he understood the gematria. He understood the mathematical figure of this crossing point. And this crossing point is what we will experience December the 21st, 2012. Our sun will cross this point, this grand cross in the sky. And when our sun crosses this grand point in the sky, we will enter for the next 4,000 years this period of time called the Golden Ages. And all ancient material spoke of this time that you and I are on the threshold of walking into, and they call that period of time the age when men become as God. That's what's happening. And this is not based off what you know. This is not based off your religion. This is not based off of anything you believe. This is based off the simple fact that our sun is moving in a Milky Way galaxy, that God set the movement up of this thing, and our sun is being pulled by God through this vast whirlwind, Milky Way galaxy, so that it will cross, its sister sun, Sirius, will cross exactly at the same time, December the 21st, 2012. My grandson, he said, "Papa, will the earth come to an end? Will the poles shift?" Well, they could. Poles could shift. The airports have already recognized since the earthquake in China, they've already recognized a tremendous shift in the poles, and so the airports have to move their directing system. They have to calculate that and recalculate because the planes can't land at dark or in the clouds if they can't find the runway. And the way they go by that is the North Pole and the guiding system. But if it's moved, if the pole moved, then the runway was supposed to be here and it's over there. And you wouldn't like that, would you? No, you wouldn't really like that, especially if you're flying anywhere. So our sun and its sister star, Sirius, December the 21st, will cross these points. They'll make this grand scale, this cross in the sky. And this cross in the sky is the one that Pythagoras wore around his neck, and he wore it with a crucified man on it because he understood the Adamkidmon, which is a figure that way predates our Jesus. Predates Jesus. The Adamkidmon is a part of the Sifat Yetzirah, which is a part of the ancient script that was supposedly written by Abraham. Supposedly. Nobody really knows who wrote that. But they understand Adamkidmon is you and I stretched out in this scale of the sky. And so our cell system is duplicated in this cell system. And it's more, the more we see that, that's why the ancient said, "As it is above, so it is below." I'm out there and I'm in here. So you can see that my parents or my grandparents, they used these signs to plant. They were farmers, and my grandfather was a very successful farmer and owned a very large farm. And the University of Georgia sent a bunch of people up to my grandfather's farm when I was just a little boy back in the early 50s, and they come up to use my grandfather's farm as a model farm to teach farmers how to farm. So they come up and they wanted to check, "Well, Mr. Brock, how deep do you put your corn, or how deep do you put your soybean?" And he said, "Well, I look at the signs and I go out and I stick my finger in the dirt and I set my planter to that." And they said, "No, we can't do that. We can't put that in the textbook." Because, see, he was planting God's way. They didn't want him to plant like that. They wanted him to plant a different method and a different way. But he understood this. He understood what's going on up there. And he was just a Baptist man. He didn't try to study astrology or the signs or anything like that. He was just a good Baptist brother that loved God And but he knew the earth, and he knew God's design. So where we're at is phenomenal. Consciousness is raising. That just simply means that your ideas are going to be challenged. My ideas are going to be challenged. That's a good thing. That's really healthy for all of us, isn't it? And so I know God has challenged me. I have gotten so mad at God over the last 25 years. Yeah, but God, that's how I would do it. I get in these arguments in my closet privately because I have things ironed out. I mean, you know, I set out nearly 40 years ago to memorize the Bible and to memorize all of these doctrinal beliefs. And then when God would begin to unveil something, you don't have any idea how mad I got when God took my rapture away. I really, as they say, I got pissed. I was mad. No, I can't. I just can't buy that. So me and God had this screaming match. How many of you saw The Apostle? Yeah. Was that a good movie? They said, what's going on with your son? Well, sometimes he talks to God, and sometimes he's talking at God. He just happens to be talking at God tonight. And there were so many times, that's me. When you got it all worked out, and you got all these scripture lined up, and you know you like Jack Van Impe and Hal Lindsey, and you know Jeremiah, and you know Ezekiel, and you know Daniel, and you know Revelation, and you got the map worked out, and you got the 3.5 years and the 70 years, and you got the beast, and you got the Antichrist, and you got it all worked out, and God messes your puzzle up. What do you do? Well, I talk at God. Yeah, but God. Well, I've spent a lot of nights and a lot of prayer closet times doing that on my own. Because God has just literally torn down my playhouse and I had the thing built the way it should have been built. I thought. God tore it down. So, Psalms 8:3 says, I consider the heavens, the works of your finger, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. And we have to pay attention to that, and we have to realize this is something that God set it in its place. And if we will begin to honor it and respect it, and we begin to listen to it, and attune ourselves to it, acquire knowledge. If we don't have knowledge, acquire knowledge. Ask and knock, seek. God will open. God will unveil. God will show. And He is. And this is where we're at, because the energy of consciousness is being pulled by God Himself as He begins to awaken us and show us these tremendous things that God's had for us. So, He says, God set these things in place and God ordained them. What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man? Everybody say, the Son of Man. You see, when we cross that grand cross in the sky, we cross into Aquarius, and the sign of Aquarius is the Son of Man. That's why it says in Mark and in Luke, Jesus said, here's the communion that I will eat with you. We need to look at that. We need to wake up to that. He said, this is the communion that I will eat with you when you see the man carrying the pitcher of water. And most of you know that in the Middle East, if you're telling a story over there, men don't carry water. The only thing Jesus could have been referring to was this point, this astrological point. He was pointing from then to right now, and he said, when you see this grand cross in the sky, you must know that's when I'm going to break communion and I'm going to eat with you, because that is the day of the Son of Man. And he will pour out water. He will begin to pour out a torrent of God's knowledge and wisdom.
Amen. Amen.
It's happening. It's just happening. What is man? The Son of Man. You've marked him. God has marked every one of you. It just so blesses me to see these young men up here. I mean, you have blessed me. I have been more blessed than y'all have been blessed, because you have blessed me. Your children, all of your children have blessed me tremendously. Hallelujah. So he said, Son of Man, Ben Adam, Ben Adam. I've used this a lot and I wanted to talk about it. This is one, number one in the Hebrew, Aleph. This number one, this is A, Aleph. This is Dalit, number four. This number right here, number one, Aleph, this deals with God itself. You see, the only way that you can actually describe God in the Hebrew is not by the letter Aleph or the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's actually by the zero, because God is the Ein Sof. He's the vast nothingness. He's the undescribable, the unknowable, the undefinable. Because God is everything and nothing all at the same time. And it's hard for us to understand that because you can't understand it. Paul said the natural mind can't comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. It just can't be done. So what you have to do is shut your natural mind down and let your spiritual mind take over and begin to realize the Christ in you knows the God that is His Father. So when you but to reduce it down so that we can try to some people, I had one lady call me, she said, "But Brother Lynn, and I need to sit in Father God's lap." And I said, "Good, do it." I don't want to take that opportunity from you. "Yeah, but it sounds like you're trying to call God energy." I said, "God is energy. He's not an old gray-headed man. But I need an old gray-headed man to crawl up in his lap." I said, "Good. Crawl up in the old gray-headed man's lap until you don't need to crawl up in the old gray-headed man's lap. It's okay. It is okay." So, you see, the things that we have thought in the past didn't serve us, do serve us, because they become the catapult to push you to a higher dimension. They become the rung on the ladder that you step on. There's nothing wrong with those things. Hallelujah. So, this Aleph, number one in Hebrew, that is the positive and it's the negative. It's the life and it's the death. It's those things that cause pulsation. This is where friction comes from. So God used this energy system, combined it with the four elements of the earth, and drew it out of water. Number 40. That's what the meme, that's the Hebrew word meme. It's the letter 40. And so this word spells Adam. This is the picture of who you are. But how many of you ever heard of a first Adam and a last Adam?
Yes, sir.
Here's the last Adam. Aleph, Dalit. Final mem. This number went all the way up to 600. This is a part of the Hebrew alphabet that gives us more clarity of the divine dimension. Anything above 400 in the Hebrew alphabet gives us a picture of the divine dimension, or cosmic dimension, or the dimension that is in the unknown that makes itself known in the known. Did y'all follow that? This is called the last Adam. And if you are in Hebrew and you're looking at these words, you can see the difference in the spelling of them just by the shape of the letters. You'll understand it. But if you're just reading through here and you're reading the King James translation of the Hebrew and all you read is the word Adam, you don't notice the difference, because you don't know the difference unless somebody teaches you, or unless somebody shares and shows you. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the good news. So that we can know who Adam, we can know who this son of man, we can know who we are. Because these are the two aspects. How many of you know the two of you? There's the physical you, and there's the spiritual you. This is the spiritual you, and this is the physical you. There's always been two of you, son of man, Ben Adam. Now go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8. John 8. Just want you to look at a verse here. In verse 32, you all should know it. You probably do know it. Pray that you do anyway. Has anybody found it? Is anybody there?
Yep.
What does it say? Just read it. John 8.
Glenn.
what was the numerical value of those other, the first and second?
Same thing. Same thing. 1, 4, 600. Top one, because you see, the last Adam still has the Aleph, the life, death, the positive, the negative. He's still made out of the material of the four-dimensional world, but he has the cosmic energy of God in him. The number 40 always represents water. And the symbol, if I were using Pythagorean terminology to draw my stick man, I draw my stick man, and some of you have heard me draw my stick man like this, but you didn't know what I was doing because you didn't see him. But yet you've gotten the tape, and I have people go, "What was you writing on the board?" I said, "I wish you knew." So you have 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's the same thing. You have the four elements of earth, and if you study the pyramid, gematria, whoa, this thing speaks so many volumes of things. If any of you get up any, goodness, did you see Thrive? Any of you see the movie Thrive? If you saw Thrive, you'll see this in it a lot, in the tube torus. You'll see it because this is Pythagoras. And in these symbols, these were symbols, this square 4 represents the earth. This always represents J-H-V-H. Always. That's what this always... This higher energy represents light, life, and love. This is God. That's what God is. Light, life, and love. And the only reason they left the capstone off that pyramid over there is because of this. Y'all, if this gets to be too weighty, just ask too much, or just say stop or change. Let's see, I'm going to use me, Adam Kidmon. I'm born on the cuff. I am Aquarius, and I am Pisces. I'm born on the cuff. I'm born right on the... When Aquarius goes out, Pisces comes in, I'm born right there. Boom. Which, that's a marvelous. That gives me... It makes me a little different. The astrological signs and the way I'm designed on my birth, this is how God made me. It's not how I was made. This is how God made me. It gave me a little... Anybody here born around February the 20th? That's me. I'm February the 19th. Puts me here. Okay, if I go back, let me do this way. Okay, these are the 12 astrological signs, starting with Aries and coming on around. So I can actually back this up 9 months, and I will be able to see this is when Mama and Daddy copulated me, right here. They copulated. You understand what I mean? I'm trying to be really nice. Back home, I just say it the way it is. And my wife say, "You shouldn't say that. That's dirty." I say, "Well, it's just plain English. That's how everybody understands it." It's just, yeah, well, Mom and Daddy was doing it then. They copulated. And you know what? Here's what happened. You see, here's what happened. As this happened, I began to grow into the womb, and when I did, I come out right here, head first. So this would be a picture of my head, my arms, and my feet, and as I come around right here. And so really what happened, does he need to come on through?
Yeah,
he okay?
Sorry.
It's okay. It's no problem. It's good to have a grandson that can help you. Absolutely. I know how that is. So here's what happens. By the divine grace of God, who was the architect and designer in mother's womb of me? Bingo. God was. Man didn't have nothing to do with that. Sure, my mom and daddy copulated, and the Spirit of God, it would not have mattered if my mama had been raped by some, I don't care, call it anybody, somebody you don't like. I can't think of nobody I don't like, so it'd be hard for me to say somebody, because I'm not grouped But if you, somebody, they were a vessel that the Spirit used, that semen, to plant that baby in that womb. That baby is still a divine gift of God.
Amen.
Period. It's not wicked. It's not corrupt. It don't need to be aborted. It don't need to... It's beautiful. And God is the one that cooked the thing. Boy, you'd have got a big lug if I'd spit on you then. I just baptized them really good. Somebody really got... Oh! It got some... Woo! Good. All right, we're getting loose now. Calm down. Calm down. So I'm cooking in mama's womb. God's doing this. And so when I come out on the cuff right here, February the 19th, now then, God is through with that design. But yet, I lack the capstone. And if you'll look at this and divide it, you will see this thing is divided like this. And this part of the capstone, I don't have it. I didn't get it in the womb. Now then, I can walk the rest of the days of my life and I can never acquire this energy. Or I can wake up to the fact that I don't have my capstone. And when I wake up to that fact that I don't have my capstone now, my responsibility is for me to acquire the energy of this so I can be whole. When you use the word salvation in the New Testament, it ain't got nothing to do with you getting saved from hell so you can go to heaven. It ain't got nothing to do with it. The word soterio has nothing to do. The word sozo, translated for the word save, means to be whole. Why? Because I'm incomplete. You're born that way. You are born incomplete, but you are born complete with God's design. And God says, now as you walk, you put the capstone. Because the energies that are here that I lacked because they weren't deposited in me. I don't care what place you fit in this birth chart, you lack the capstone. You lack a fourth. Because there's 9 months of incubation and you like the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th month. And those energies, God wants you to have those energies. It's those energies that give you that fullness and wholeness of your being.
Amen.
So, I don't know how that come in this picture. John 8.
And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Gnosko. You will know. Everybody say no.
No.
Notice it didn't say you'll believe what the preacher said. Notice it didn't say you'll believe the apostolic creed. Notice it didn't say that you will believe anything. It said you know the truth, and the truth, gnosko. Know the truth and you are set free.
I just need to throw the AC
in. Oh really? Is it hot in here or cold in here? I thought it was hot. I go through this a lot at the house. I'm used to it. No, cut it down. I'm teasing. You can turn it down. Yeah. I'll wait for Annie so that she don't knock my box off. Let's see. While Annie's doing that, let me do something on the board right here so that you understand. The truth will do what to you?
Set you free.
Y'all understand what that is, don't you? Alright. There is tremendous difference in truth and religion. Lots of difference in truth and religion. And so the truth, gnosko, will set you free. Religion will always bind you. Think about religion, it's always built on a belief system. Always built on a belief system, and that belief system starts out with theology. I took my theology, studied my theological classes until I got to the point I thought I had that mastered, And I understood that. And so if you're going to understand theology, you have a father. How you spell father? You have a father. Now, I put it this way because it's important. You have a Father, Spirit, and Son. And usually we say Father, Holy Spirit, and Son, or usually we say Father, Son, and Spirit. It doesn't matter how you say it, or you could say Father, Mary, Son.
Okay.
You could. Because you're not going to have a son without a mama. That's why in Catholicism, Mother God is superior. And it's just the spirit.
Yeah.
You understand El Shaddai, Hebrew, El Shaddai, the breasted one, the mother, the nurse. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what the spirit is. Feminine, that's fine. So you have a masculine, feminine. You can't have a child without you have a masculine, feminine, right?
Right.
Amen. That's the Aleph, positive and negative. So you have those. That's called your theology. And so you study this, and here's exactly how this breaks down. Out of the Father, in this religious system, the first thing they're going to play with is your emotions. And as they play with your emotions, they're going to work on you off your morals. And then as they work on your morals, they'll teach you how to judge. This is theology 101. And then under the Spirit, now this really gets done under the Spirit, what they first want you to do is be ignorant. And the way they're going to make you ignorant is first thing they want to do is take this away from you. And the second thing they do, if you do have it, they're going to tell you you don't know how to read it. But they do. And so they'll read it for you. So they're going to keep you ignorant. And out of your ignorance, what they want to do is put you in fear. And because you're ignorant and you're in fear, and here's the biggie, they'll teach you superstitions. And if you think superstitions are not powerful, you don't know. They are powerful. Most of the things that you believe under a religious system are actually superstition. And actually, they have no weight whatsoever. Is that true, Annie, or not? So I can go to any third world country in the world, and I have no need to fear voodoo, boo-doo, or hoodoo.
Amen.
Or doo-doo. It's all superstition. And here is the rub under the system of religion and theology. What they did with superstition is they taught you to believe this crap.
Oh, yes. Right.
And say it's true.
Yeah.
And then twist scripture to get woo to see that.
And they named it something like orthodoxy.
They did. This is all of this is orthodox. Oh, buddy. Yeah. Right belief. Then under the sun right here, then they want to teach you dogma. And they use the sun to do that. And under the dogma, they teach you doctrine. So that now if you get your dogmas and your doctrines right under the authority of the sun, now then your belief system right and you're right. And you are still not free.
That's right.
But over here under truth, Jesus said it right here. Truth. Under truth you have gnosis. And every one of you have gnosis. It's in the table of your heart. If you would just listen to it. We are trained over here under religion to listen to our head. God don't want you listening to your head because your carnal mind will tell you something is one way when it's the other way. If you listen to your heart, you have to understand the heart of the stick man is one of the most important aspects of him. That's why if you look at him all through scripture, you'll see that his heart is divided, and God wants that heart made whole.
Yes.
God wants that heart filled up with all of the good things that God has to give you. So, over here under truth is built on gnosis. And when you come out of gnosis, you'll begin to see the difference. And it's the nature of God. And God's not mad. God's never been mad. And God's not filled with anger. God's not trying to take a list and check it twice, see if you've been naughty or nice. God's not wanting to burn you. God's not wanting to destroy you. God's not wanting to do anything. God loves you. Always has, always will. Nothing you can do to stop it. God loves you.
True love.
Always, exactly. It's the perfect description of it is given to us in 1 Corinthians in 13, 4 through 8. Read it in the Amplified. Don't read it in the King James. Don't read it in the New American Standard. Don't read it in the New Living Bible. Read it in the Amplified. It gives you a clearer picture of what the nature of God is. This is the nature of God, and this you have in your heart. You don't have to ask it to come there.
Amen.
It's there. Uh-oh. It's there, and here's what it's doing.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. It's there, and it's doing that. You know why it's doing that? It's saying, let me out. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to commune with you. I want to walk with you in your day.
Yeah.
It's there. It's inside you. I don't care if you're drug addicted. I don't care if you're a murderer. It's there inside you knocking.
Yes.
It's telling you, compelling you, and urging you. Just simply saying, let me come out. Let me come out. That's what it means in Revelation 3 when it says that He knocks at the door.
Yeah.
It's a picture. And Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 is also a picture of the stick man called the seven churches. If we could see that, we understand that. It's just totally revolutionary.
Yeah.
Truth. Gnosis. You know the truth. Here's where freedom's at. Here's where bondage is at. The truth will set you free. And under light, you have knowing. You know, when you go back in the Old Testament, I remember a passage of Scripture in Numbers where, what's that guy's name? Got mad at his donkey?
Balaam.
And his donkey finally talked back to him and said, you quit kicking me in the ass, I'm going to throw you on your ass. I kind of use North Georgia terminology, but that's pretty much what's said.
Amen.
But people just totally have really done abuse into that one. And it says, and the anger of God was kindled because he went. And do you know it doesn't say that at all? It says the off of God was kindled because he went. And the word off simply means the passion of God was with him. The passion of God. You realize many times in our raising our three girls, I held one boy up on the wall. He was dating my daughter. And I said, I was passionate about this thing. I was about to kill him. That word off in the Hebrew means passion. God wasn't mad. We have been taught, God's mad at you. God's not mad at you. Never been mad at you. Can't make God mad at you. 1 Corinthians 13 says, God keeps no record or score of the wrong you do. Period. He don't keep score. Does he know you did it? Sure he knows you did it. I remember when our grandkids started coming along. I understood the mercy and the passion of God more than I did when our children come along. As my children come along, they begin to teach me. I didn't even go to church, didn't want to go to church. I was enjoying my lifestyle. I had a good time doing what I was doing. And then all of a sudden, my wife just messed up everything. And our girls, we only had two at that time, Rochelle and Tracy. Rochelle is our oldest. And, you know, I love my kids, and my kids, they were, I couldn't no more, as wicked and corrupt as I could not build a bonfire and put my kids in it and burn them and say, well, hell, that's good enough for you. I couldn't do that. Then when I become a Christian, I could. Didn't work, did it? I couldn't do it. You know,
people don't understand this, and because we're a tender society today, okay? But God loved man so much, And 2,000 years ago, it was a pretty tough time that he spilt his family's blood and said, I'm right in my family's blood that you're all right with me.
All right.
And you're all right with me forever.
Nothing.
All of you are all right with me forever.
Nothing you can do to change
it. There's nothing you can do to change it.
You're all right.
Amen. All right.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
And that was tough times.
Right.
And it's unchangeable.
Amen.
Unchangeable.
You're all right. So under truth, truth sets you free. Religion binds you. Under truth, you have gnosis, you have light. Under light, you have knowing. Under knowing, you'll have understanding. Now, what's this? Understanding? And under understanding, you'll have discernment. And these are all things that we need. Over here, you'll get confused on emotions and your morals. And then what happens under judgment, you will begin to condemn not only people, you condemn and judge yourself. And it puts the walls of the box are bigger. Over here, you get freer. You begin to understand freedom under life. You have the physical. You have the psychological. And you have the spiritual. All of these come under life. Under love, you have teaching because that's how God... I remember about 30 years ago, I was pastoring and I was confused about chastisement because my parents taught me chastisement was where they took a big old hickory and beat my legs and that was good for me. And I'm not saying anything bad about that. I did that to my kids. God forgive me. I'm not saying anything right or wrong about chastisement. The old school mentality of chastisement was, and they use the Greek word padeo in the Bible, chastise. The word don't mean to beat you. The word chastise means to teach you. Love, and that's exactly what love does. Love teaches you. Love will teach you. It will instruct you. And it does it in many different ways. And then out of that teaching, you will have compassion because you receive compassion. This is where the truth, the Son of Man, that God says, Son of Man, I want you to know the truth because the truth will make you free. And if you will, I want to use one more scripture and I want to quit tonight. And are we going to have a service tomorrow?
Yes.
After breakfast.
Because I'm like an ever-ready battery. You know, this stuff just goes on and on and on forever. There's not an end to it. We just sometimes just find a place and we disconnect. So if you will, just quickly go with me to Ezekiel chapter 1. And I'll just disconnect right here with this passage of Scripture. Somewhat. I may use one other to go with this. But I want you to see this Scripture with me in Ezekiel. My desire is to see us all free.
Amen.
Free. And freedom is a mixed bag. And I want to tell you that. I know that. And some people hear this and they hear the message and they misunderstand what I say. And they say, well, you think that everybody's just free to do anything they want to do? And I said, yes, they are. They really are. I want them to understand the seeds they sow bear great repercussions for whatever. Ezekiel, look at this, 1:26. Did we lose her?
I'm moving away from those people.
Okay, you got to get this. This is you tighten up back there. Oh, it's good. It's all good. Ezekiel, this phrase that I'll explain this phrase to you a little bit in a minute, but I want you to look at this with me out of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 1:26 says that above the firmament. that was over the heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man. Everybody say a man.
Amen.
This is the man in the sky, called Adam Kidmon. It's a picture of you. It's what it is. It's a picture of you in the astrological belts that I showed you a minute ago. That's who this is. It's a picture of you. And he said, there was a man above and upon it. And I saw as the color. Everybody say color. I saw as the color of amber, as the color of the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. And I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. And Austin, this is basically referring to his aura. Because everything has an aura. I don't care who or what. Everything has an aura. That's just an energy that's emanating out of it. Okay? So it says, verse 28, and as the appearance of the bow. Everybody say bow. Everybody say rainbow. The appearance of a rainbow is my stick man in its seven magnificent colors, which are the seven colors that God uses to form you in your mother's womb. So he said, in the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, I told you that's the only scripture I wanted to show you, but I want you to hold your finger right there. I apologize. I have to show you this. Revelations. Bear with me just a minute. Revelations chapter 1, and I will wrap this up real quick. I want you to see this. I just really feel that you need to see this. And he said, I heard this voice, I fell on my face. All of that sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds good. I heard a voice, I'm on my face. And here in Revelations chapter 1, this is a picture where John has done the same thing. John has had this experience and he's fallen on his face. In Revelations chapter 1, verse 12, John is dealing with a voice. And he says, and I turned to see the voice. Everybody say epistrepho.
Epistrepho.
Okay, the word for turn, like if I'm walking this way and I turn, is strepho. So why is he using the word epistrepho? Because the picture seems to be, I'm going this direction, or I'm on my face, or something happened, and all of a sudden, I heard a voice, and I epistrepho. Is that how you see it? I'm going this direction, I heard a voice, and I epistrepho. I turned. Is that what it says? It's not what it says. He says, I'm going this way, or I'm on my face, and I heard a voice, epistrepho. The word epistrepho means that I turned within myself.
Yes.
It's something inside me talking to me. Something in here talking to me. This something in here talks to me. And reflects its voice off the wall out there, and I heard it out there. You ever had that happen? You get quiet, and you realize it wasn't out there. I heard this voice in me. All right, go with me back to Ezekiel real quickly now. Same experience, same thing. He says, and I fell on my face, and I heard a voice. Same thing. Verse 1. Chapter 2. Here's what it said. Here's what the voice said. And the voice said to me, Son of man, stand up. That don't really do you what that does to me. Son of man, stand up. God said, Son of Man, stand up. You've been on your face too long. I don't want you on your face. I don't want you laying out. I want you to stand up. I want you to eggaro. I want you to resurrect. I want you to wake up. I want you to stand up and walk on your circumstances. Don't lay down and let them roll over you. Son of Man, stand up. This is what God is saying today. This is the message that God is speaking to all of us. Let's everybody say it. Say, Son of Man, stand up. Let's all do that. Son of Man, stand up. That voice inside us is doing that very thing. And it's saying to us, Son of Man, stand up. Take your dominion.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, he said, stand up and then I'll talk to you.
Oh.
You can't hear it unless you're standing up. He said, you stand up, then I'll talk to you. Then you'll hear it.
That's right.
You take your place. Yeah. You take your place.
You can't do it when you feel like you have a false humility on your face.
Yeah.
Sounds good. It's over here. Works good over here. But you come out the same way you went in. You have the bondages that you brought in there when you leave. Yep. And what God wants us to do is come over here and let the truth set us free so that we don't walk out the way we come in. We go different. Yep. Challenged. Changed. Son of Man, stand up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to speak to you. Got something in here to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick that right up in Matthew 16. That's where I really like to go with Matthew 16. Who do they say? He came to Caesarea Philippi. Anywhere in Bible you read a name, a place, a person, a thing, I don't care what it is, donkeys, birds, eagles, I don't care what it is, pay attention, it's saying he came to Caesarea Philippi. The word Caesarea Philippi means that you come to the end of your own carnal senses.
Oh, yeah.
So if you understand, when I come to Caesarea Philippi, I come to the end of my own carnal senses. Who do they say I am? And then they say, who do they say I, the Son of Man, am? And then he tells them, I'll tell you who you are. You're the Christ.
Yes.
You are the Son of the Living God. Son of Man, stand up.
My Father.
My Father told you that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Glory. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.